Okay, hello everyone. This week we're also doing another student requested shiur. Thank you, Maya. We're going to speak about getting drunk on Purim.
You asked to speak
about getting drunk on Purim.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You asked on Thursday. You said, "Hey, can we talk about getting drunk on Purim?"
So. Okay. Sure, guys, me for sure.
About drinking on Purim. Okay, so let's be very clear. Let's be very, very clear at the very beginning that there is no source in Tanakh, right? In all of Torah, in all of our written Torah, there is no source for drinking or getting drunk on Purim. As opposed to, there is a source for Mishloach Manot and Matanot Lev Yonim and potentially Seuda, and also reading the Megillah, which are found directly in Megillah's Esther. Okay, yes, we're all on the same page?
Yeah.
Yes? No? Yeah. Not on the same page?
Because Esther was Torah?
Yes, it's in Tanakh, Ketuvim.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah. Historically chronological book that really closed Tanakh is Megillah's Esther. However, it does say in Megillah, in Maseches Megillah, in the Gemara, and I'm sure that you, many of you, might have heard the song. Chayevinish libisume, libisume, ada de lo yada, ada de lo yada. Okay? So it says in the Gemara, you never heard it. Okay. Now you have. Now you have. It's a very, very popular Purim song because it's a Gemara that says, Chayev, mechayevinish libisume, bipura, bipura, ada lo yada, men arur haman lebarach marachai. A person is chayev to libisume bipurya, which literally is very hard. Many people will say the word libisume means to get drunk on, so let's just call it that, to get drunk on Purim, until you don't know the difference between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordechai. The polar opposites, the hero and the villain of the story, of the Megillah story. Okay, so that's basically where everyone gets the source that you have to get drunk on Purim. So let's talk halachically. Is that a requirement? What are the what's going on with getting drunk on Purim? Okay, so we'll start with the Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha was written by the Chavetz Chaim, who also wrote the Mishnah Berurah, who also wrote the Shaar Tzion, all commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. And he wrote, and he questions, why is it that Chazal, why is it that the rabbis made this rule or this chayiv that you have to drink on Purim, that you have to get drunk especially, if in Tanakh, in the Torah, there have been a lot of stories that do not have favorable ends with people who end up drinking, namely Noach, who drinks right after the flood and ends up getting naked and embarrassing himself in front of his two kids. Who are three of his kids, two of them who cover up his nakedness, and it's not looked well upon. Lot, who plants a vineyard, gets drunk, and then ends up sleeping with two of his daughters. And then Nadav and Avihu, who we'll read about in a few weeks, Aaron's two sons, who right after the celebration of the inauguration of the Mishkan, the travel temple in the desert, they drank and they then offered a strange flame on the altar and were consumed directly by the fire and killed on the spot. So those are just three stories that we have in the Torah where drinking does not turn out well for the Jewish people. So question is why are the rabbis basically making this mitzvah to get drunk or to drink on Purim? So he says, the Bir Halacha, that because the miracle happened with drinks, or really with that happened at parties that contained drink, meaning Esther told Ahasuerus, hey, there's someone trying to kill my nation. Ahasuerus says, okay, you know, we're going to make sure that that doesn't happen. And that happened at a party with plenty of wine. So therefore, there you should party. However, he quotes then the Meiri, who says that the mitzvah or this idea of drinking or getting drunk on Purim should not be at the cost of degrading yourself through the idea of simcha, through the idea of joy. Really, the whole point is to be is to be joyful, to be happy, and you should not degrade yourself, your character, through that act. Because really this happiness that you're supposed to experience by getting drunk or by drinking is really only, and I emphasize only, for the simcha, the joy of Hashem, the love for Hashem, and thankfulness to God, to Hashem, for the miracles that happened. And it should not be done with lightheadedness, with foolishness. That is the absolute opposite of what drinking on Purim is supposed to be. There is a story that is recorded in the Gemara right after the line that says that one is required to get drunk on Purim. That says that there's these two guys, Rabba and Rabbi Zeira. And Rabba invited Rabbi Zeira over for a Purim Suda. He said, "My good friend, Rabba, can you come over for a Purim Suda?" And Rabbi Zeira came over to the Purim Suda of Rabba. And Rabba, of course, served lots of alcohol. And they both got very, very drunk at the Purim Suda, as they thought required. And they did. And Rabba was so drunk that he shechted Rabbi Zeira. He murdered him. And then when he sobered up, he was like, "Oh my God, I murdered my friend." And he prayed to Hashem and God resurrected him and everything was good. This is straight up Gemara. It's really, really crazy. It gets crazier. Rabbi Zeira the following Purim gets a letter from Rabba and says, "Hey, do you want to come back to my Purim Suda?" And Rabbi Zeira says, "Absolutely not." Rabbi Zeira says, "Absolutely not. Because we do not rely on miracles, and I do not want to rely on a miracle again. I would like to live." What? What? In Gemara Megillah. It's right after the line of Mechai Vinish Libesume Bipuria. It says right afterwards, it says this story. In succession, like one right after the other. So, yeah, very, very crazy story. Yeah, very, very crazy story. It's like, okay, so what do we do with this? So let's figure it out. So the Baal HaMor and Rabbeinu Ephraim says that this story actually comes to cancel out the mitzvah of drinking. They say, yes, do you know why the Gemara brings this story right after the mitzvah of Purim, of you have to be drunk on Purim? Is because this is what happens when you get so out of hand. That mitzvah is canceled. No longer happens. Okay, very nice Chazal said it, but people are shechting each other and we don't want that happening. So canceled. Okay? But the Riff and the Rush say, no. This story is just as a cautionary tale to let you know what could potentially happen if you get too drunk. So if you're going to get drunk, be careful. And don't get too drunk that you're going to shecht your friend. And again... as a cautionary tale, Rav Shechter, the Brisker Rav, the Rambam, the Tour, and the Shulchan Aruch. Rav Hershel Shechter, the primary, the biggest Gadol Ador in the Yeshiva University circle, the Brisker Rav, the Rambam, the Tour, and the Shulchan Aruch all say that the only mitzvah, if there was a mitzvah to drink, and we'll explore if there's still a mitzvah to drink, is within the context of a suda, in the context of the Purim meal that you're required to have. And the Gemara, right after the story of Rabba and Rabbi Zeira, says that the only time to have the meal is during the day. That means that no matter what anyone says, and no matter what anyone does, there is absolutely zero mitzvah to drink the night of Purim. The night of Purim, there is no requirement, no commandment, and no extra good thing to do to drink. That is totally an invented custom that people do to get drunk, and it has no halachic or Jewish backing at all.
So why is it okay then when, like, let's say when I was in Israel, right? The boys got so drunk, and it was totally fine because it was Purim.
We're talking about, right now we're separating out the night before Purim and this within the context of Suda. We're going to get to it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's on recording. Okay. So you can only have, so the drinking is only within the context of the Seuda, within the context of the festive Purim meal that you're supposed to have, and that can only happen during the day of Purim, not the night before. The Orchos HaChaim says that he is totally against this idea of getting drunk on Purim because it brings people to murder and sexual exploitation and adultery and really terrible sins. And therefore it is against Torah values. And therefore you should drink a little more than you usually do, but you should not get drunk. Well, he says a little more than you usually do, and my Rebbe always says, I drink nothing, and therefore I have one glass of wine, and that is more than I always have. The Maharil says that the words Arur Haman, which means cursed be Haman, and Baruch Mordechai, blessed be Mordechai, are the same mathematical value if you do take the Hebrew letters and you take each of the Hebrew values. So you just really need to drink enough to not be able to do the mathematical calculation to get to those. And that is significantly fewer drinks than as if you were going to get drunk and actually confuse blessed be Mordechai and cursed be Haman. So though that is a huge difference. In terms of the Rambam says that it is enough to sleep right after drinking. So you could drink two sips, whatever, and then go to sleep right afterwards. And if you go to sleep right afterwards, then you don't know the difference between blessed be Mordechai and cursed be Haman because you're asleep, and therefore you don't know the difference. And that can fulfill your obligation. The Bach and the Hagos Maimonios and the Rav Yah all say that if you decide not to drink, you are not losing out on any mitzvah. So you're not losing out on anything by not doing it. And that is, so you don't have to worry about making sure that you're going to do it. The Ramah says that if you're going to get drunk, it's only for Avodas Hashem, that it has to be towards God and not anything else. And the Bir Halacha says, if the drinking is going to bother any other commandment that you're required to do, so Birkat HaMazon, right? Any blessing after the meal that you're going to do, if it's going to bother any prayer service that you need to do, Mincha or Ma'ariv, no good. So don't drink. Also, if your behavior is going to be really, really bad, you should not be drinking. And most importantly, if you are drinking on Purim, you should absolutely, under no circumstances, get behind the wheel of a car. You should not drive if you are drinking on Purim at all. The rabbis in Israel are famous for telling soldiers in Israel that they are not allowed to drink on Purim because they have access to guns, not only access, but that they are required to carry their gun around all the time. And so big rabbis in Israel are famous for making sure that people are not getting drunk. And therefore, again, we do not want to cause another Rabbah and Rebbe Zera situation again. Rashi and Rambam say that it's really only wine. It's not any other type of drink. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, why is it no other drink? Because liquor makes you throw up, as opposed to wine, which might not be such a problem. And Rav Yisrael Salanter actually says, when it says ad delo yada, when it says until you don't know, that's the upper limit, not the minimum requirement. So if you are at a point where you no longer know the difference between blessed be Mordechai and cursed be Haman, I'll get to you in a second. So that is the upper limit. You should no longer be drinking at that point. And the minimum is more than you usually have. And then the upper limit is until you don't know the difference. I'll get to you in a second. Just lastly, the Pri Chodesh says that in reality, it might be true that there is or that there was one time a mitzvah to drink on Purim. But because we are at a much lower level generation than previous generations, we are actually relying very heavily on the Baal HaMor that says that the Rabbah and Rabbi Zera story is actually coming to cancel out that commandment because we don't want to shecht our friends. So because you don't want to shecht your friends, so we're relying on that story as a cancellation for the mitzvah of drinking. So the Pri Chodesh basically says that today there is no mitzvah to drink because we are canceling it out. Yeah, Leo.
You said that you only drink wine and not other drinks, because other drinks cause you to throw up. Who says you can't throw up from wine? Drink a whole bottle of wine.
No, you can, but no, it's a good, it's It's a good point. But again, you have an upper limit of until you don't know, and you're not supposed to get to a point where you're throwing up and behaving in a terrible way. I think that's kind of what everyone is saying. Everyone is kind of, if you look at all the sources, they're kind of all saying the same thing, which is you have to do something that's within reality and within normality. You should not be getting so drunk and so messed up that you can't see sideways, and you're throwing up everywhere and you're acting in an inappropriate manner. That is a total degradation of any commandment or any mitzvah that you're supposed to do, and it's just totally outside the scope of what's happening, and people are just basically using it as an excuse to get drunk, which is not necessarily a Jewish value. That answer the question?
Yes.
Second question. Okay. Any other questions, comments, concerns? About Purim, about drinking, about life. Okay. With that, I wish you a wonderful day.